Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
Welcome to today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz recapping NFL action. Week number 16. Have a big ball game in New Orleans tonight. 7-7 Miami Dolphins fighting for a playoff berth. Take on the New Orleans Saints. Ian Book, former Notre Dame quarterback, will get the start tonight right now on FanDuel. Dolphins are 3-point favorites, -110 either way if you want to take a shot with the New Orleans. Ian Book and the crew can possibly strike the upset coming off a 9-0 victory against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks last week. That was with Taysom Hill at the helm. We'll see if they could step up later tonight. But George, great ball games on tap yesterday. We saw a lot of favorites stepped up. The one underdog that I think was the most impressive yesterday was Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They were catching 1 point on the road in Foxborough. Lost that ball game a couple weeks ago. 14-10 on Monday night. They stepped up with a dominant performance offensively, defensively. They shut down Mac Jones, pull away in Foxborough. 33-21 as a 1-point underdog. Josh Allen, 3-14. Through the air, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He also added 64 rushing yards. They're back on track, and you have to say that the two best teams potentially in the AFC now are Kansas City and maybe the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it's funny how we were both tanking these teams. Everyone was tanking these teams maybe a month ago, right? They're not playing well. They're not as good as they should be, blah, 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 blah. And now it's looking like these two teams are on a collision course for the AFC Championship game once again. Buffalo controls their destiny now for the AFC East. All they do is win out, and they're playing the Falcons and the Jets. And anybody think the Falcons or the Jets are going to beat Buffalo in Buffalo? All right, so assuming they win both, they win that division. Kansas City's cruising now in the AFC West. They look good. Had no problems yesterday without Travis Kelce. These two teams, like I said, they're on a collision course, Joe.
Yeah, the biggest thing, too, was that obviously New England did not force a punt. They made a lot about that in terms of Bill Belichick and that defense. They were abused early and often. And obviously the first matchup, the wind and weather played a factor about, you know, why the Buffalo Bills did not attack New England over the top in that ballgame. But we saw a different type of game plan yesterday in Foxborough. They were aggressive. They got the football vertically, challenged those cornerbacks. And more importantly, put the ball game onto Mac Jones's shoulders, right? When you're trailing from behind for much of that game, you become one-dimensional. When you can run the football early, dictate the tempo, obviously things change, and that's what Buffalo's game plan was going into that ball game. Let's jump up early, and let's see if Mac Jones can make enough plays in the passing game. It's been now back-to-back weeks, two straight losses. We saw them lose to Indianapolis, falling and trailing 20-0, and then yesterday to Josh Allen and that offense.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots aren't built to come from behind, especially not multiple scores. They're just not. Bill Belichick doesn't fully, or McDaniels, doesn't fully trust Mac Jones right now, which makes some sense here. I mean, listen, all the rookie quarterbacks this year have not played well. Lawrence, Wilson, Fields is starting to play well, but he keeps getting hurt. We haven't seen Lance at all yet. Mac Jones has been the best of the bunch, but he's also been protected with a very good defense and very good coaching. I said they're just not built to us, you know, to come back from a 10-point deficit. They're not. They don't have the weaponry to come back from double digits down here. They might in time, but they don't yet. It's a slow process here. I think Mark Jones had a very good season, but they're protecting him as best as possible.
Still getting great value on the Buffalo Bills to potentially win the Super Bowl on FanDuel. +950 to win it all. Kansas City, the front runner at 370. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz getting you prepared for this coming weekend. Also recapping NFL action week number 16. Don Martindale, the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator last week, came out and said, you know, we're not ready to hand a yellow jacket out to Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow responded, said, okay, no problem, but I'm going to rip your defense for 525 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions in the 41-21 beatdown of the Baltimore Ravens. Josh Johnson got the start in favor of Tyler Huntley that was put onto the COVID list, did not play in that ball game. Didn't matter. I mean, Burrow and that offense were on fire yesterday, and they bounced back into form, George. This is a team now that they can run the football. We know when Burrow's on, he's a confident quarterback coming off the victory last week against Denver. This was a quality win. Even though Baltimore was without Tyler Huntley, that defense was abused early and often. They shut down the run. Quality victory, and I have to admit, this team is a playoff contender. If they get the right matchup, don't be shocked if maybe Cincinnati's in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're an interesting squad here because we know they have the offense to do damage, right? They definitely have the offense to do damage. Burrow is that was a funny line when they asked him about that yesterday. They asked Burrow about it yesterday after the game. How did you feel about the comments that were made about the gold jacket? And Burrow said it didn't bother him, but then he gave a wry smile at the end where you knew it was on his mind, man. He just torched that secondary. Listen, they don't have anybody. You know, I mean, we talked about it all week that Burrow could do this and probably would do this. That's the way to beat Baltimore. There's just not much left there as far as what they can stop. Baltimore's in the last playoff spot right now. They're tied with the Chargers and the Raiders. Miami wins tonight. They would tie with Miami as well. Miami actually, by the way, holds the key. If they win out, they get the playoff spot. They control their own destiny there. Not going to be easy, of course. New Orleans, New England, and Tennessee are their next three games. But, hey, if they win out, they get in. Baltimore's in a lot of trouble. Cincinnati right now, if the season ended today, would play New England in the playoffs. So that would be an interesting matchup there as well. I think you're right. I think they can win a game, but, I mean, it'd be tough for them to beat Indianapolis, depending on how healthy Indianapolis is. They have had a bunch of guys go on the COVID list today. Nobody who was really of immense significance, but still a lot of depth was lost there. I think they can be dangerous, but remember, Burrow, as good as he is, has also been sacked 47 times this season.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I think. I think they're like Cleveland was last year, you know, where they can rip up maybe a 500-yard performance against Pittsburgh, right, and walk to the second round of the playoffs, face off maybe against Buffalo or Kansas City, and maybe cover that line and make it a very close ball game, be in a position, and then obviously not win that ball game and have the foundation and the optimism for 2022. I mean, the pieces are in place from an offensive perspective. T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow. I mean, it's all there for the taking in the next 2 to 3 years. Can they actually coach it up with Zach Taylor and the crew remains to be seen. But I'll say this, you know, when you have a trigger man like Joe Burrow, a cool hand Luke that believes he can go into any ball game, just give him an opportunity to potentially pull this ball game out in the fourth quarter, you have a shot, right? That's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, we keep going back to Cleveland and Baker's lack of performance, right? He's in year 3, Joe Burrow in year 2. It's just a different quarterback. You can see that Burrow's just confident, even though he faces adversity and maybe has a bad ball game. He backs it up, though, the following week with a solid performance. Nothing phases him, and he's always looking to get better. That's the difference between him and Baker Mayfield. And when you look at Baker's performance on Saturday, just terrible, 4 interceptions. But I just think that that's the difference and the reason for so much optimism with Zach Taylor in this ball club.
I think Zach Taylor holds the team back. I've been saying it for weeks. Not so much yesterday. He let it fly yesterday, right, with Burrow. But I think he does hold the team back. Yeah, right, exactly. Finally. Yeah, listen, you got to use your weaponry. I understand Mixon's a really good running back, but your offensive line is not so good. But Burrow, Chase, Boyd, Higgins, that's what you're eating. All right, that's where you're eating. You have to attack these teams. I still, you'll never get me to say that the reason they lost to San Fran 2 weeks ago is not because of Zach Taylor. That took him too long to realize it. Then even once he did realize it, he still went back to the run game there. All right, and against the Denver game, I think he did all he could to lose that game, but Denver just wouldn't win it. It's a battle of two bad coaches, and one just couldn't take couldn't take the cheese. So, I'm not thrilled about Zach Taylor either. I'm very curious about what's going to happen in the playoffs when he's on prime time. Yeah, when everybody's watching, is he going to become this conservative coach again?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a fan of Zach Taylor. You know that. But I have to give him props. He's actually coached this team up. I mean, 9 wins on the season. I'll give it that. I still think a lot of that has to do with Joe Burrow. The defense has come around. So I'll give Zach Taylor credit for where it's due. I didn't think they would be at this point, and he's got them to 9 wins on the year. So that's more than I thought. I thought he would be down and out. I thought that even though he had Joe Burrow, he would coach down this team. And here they are, fighting for a playoff spot entering week number 17. So I'll give them all the credit in the world. We'll see if they can step up. When you look at this team overall, they're going to get a big test this weekend where Pat Mahomes and the crew come to town. They are 4.5-point favorites. Total is set at 49 at -110 either way. KC is -4.5 at -114. That was a dominant performance over Pittsburgh as a 10-point favorite. Mahomes stepped up 258 yards through the air. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, no Travis Kelce, no problem. It was all the other playmakers. Byron Pringle stepped up. Mecole Hardman stepped up. There are weapons at every level for the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was the defense again, George, that made Big Ben Roethlisberger one-dimensional, and that Pittsburgh offense, kudos to that defensive side of the ball with Steve Spagnuolo, because they are flying at just the right time in the season.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from Kansas City, but Pittsburgh was terrible. I mean, just terrible. I don't understand this team. I mean, they had a shot for a playoff spot, right? Now, listen, you're probably not going to beat Kansas City anyway. I fully get that, but just a no-show again. I mean, and the whole game this time, not just the first half, right? They didn't show against Minnesota in the first half because the Chargers in the first half then came and playing really hard in the second half. Yes, it's just a no-show period. Right, and that defense is bad. Ben's bad. It's just bad, 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 bad. I have nothing else to say against Pittsburgh. That's what they were a complete joke yesterday. How awful that team looked here. I mean, technically, they're still in a playoff spot here. They're only a half game behind Baltimore because they have that tie. So they're not done yet. And things could still get interesting in that division. Right. Now, you imagine if Cincinnati does play Kansas City next week, and as much as I like the way Cincinnati has played, I'm still going to think that, hey, pretty good chance Kansas City wins that game, right? But the Ravens, who can't stop anybody, now they get to play, the Rams this week. Good luck.
Right.
Then they're playing Pittsburgh last game of the season. I don't know if they'll win either one of those games. I don't know. Cleveland, they choked on Saturday. That's all I could say about that. And they get Pittsburgh, and then they play Cincinnati. If they win both, they could still have a shot this division, assuming Cincinnati loses. And so there's a lot of stuff still going on here in this division. I think it's going to be an exciting finish here in the North. I think Cincinnati is still going to win it in the end, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion right now at all.
Well, I'll say this about Pittsburgh. This is the MO of Pittsburgh. You start slow. It's not just one game. It's not just the last couple of games. Let's start week one on the road against Buffalo. They pulled that ball game out, but trailed 10-0. They trailed against the LA Chargers. They trailed against Tennessee. They trailed every first half. At some point, you have to put the onus on maybe offensive coordinator Matt Canada. Whatever game script you're using in the first half, throw it into the garbage already, because you cannot start slow each and every week. You just can't play from behind in the NFL against elite teams and elite quarterbacks, especially when you have a journeyman that can't throw it more than 20 yards down the field.
Yeah. In today's game, you got to have a quarterback with a rocket for an arm. All right, you can get the ball in all places. You just have to. Listen, he's done. We know he's done. He'll be gone for the next season. They're going to have to move on, and I'm curious to see who's going to be quarterbacking in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, speaking of Pittsburgh, they do play the Cleveland Browns this coming Monday night. They are 3-point dogs. Total is set at 41.5 when George and I come back. We'll talk about the New York-Philly game coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
The Giants organization before the ball game yesterday in Philadelphia came out and said, Giant fans, we feel your pain. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring back starting quarterback Daniel Jones and, more importantly, head coach Joe Judge for the 2022 season. Good luck with that. The Giants then went out as 10-point underdogs, played very well for the first half, trailed that ball game early 3-0, made it 3-3 by halftime, and then in the second half got absolutely abused and blown out by Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles, losing that ball game 34-10. Great job, Mike Lennon, Jake Fromm, and more importantly, Joe Judge for that. It just great performance defensively in the second half. You made adjustments. Jalen Hurts stepped up 199 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Now Philadelphia hitting on all cylinders, 8-7 overall. They're fighting for a playoff berth. Got to be honest with you, George. That was a head scratcher when I heard the news about Judge and Daniel Jones coming back for 2022. I said, what are you doing? And Giant fans cannot be happy with this circumstance surrounding the New York Giants.
The thing is, why announce this? You know you're only going to tick people off, right? Because the Giants fans don't want either one back. Now, I get it with Daniel Jones, right? You have him for the fourth year, so you have nothing to lose here. He didn't say he'll be starting next year, just that he'll be back next year. Maybe he'll be... I know it's sort of a joke here, a mentor towards a younger quarterback if they draft one in the first round. And I don't have an issue with that. Fine, whatever, and you move on from there. As long as they don't think that he's still the future of the team, because he's not. You know, he's just not. How are you bringing, and once again, how are you bringing back Joe Judge? Has he done anything at all that says, oh, yes, he's going to be the guy? Anything at all? No. And I can't say this enough. If you hire a legitimate GM, which you really need for New York, right, you have to have somebody who's probably done it before, who has that kind of power there, that person's going to want to hire his own coach. I mean, they're not going to get who they want, the top couple who are, if they can't hire their own coach. That person's going, I'm not coming. Then I got to keep Joe Judge. I can't hire my own guy. Why would I want to do that? Why? So they're going to hire a lesser person who's forced to keep Joe Judge under him. I just don't see it. The team is not responding to Judge. They're not doing anything. I mean, I can't tell you, Joe, how big a mistake I think this is. Not so much, it's not really a total knock on Judge either. He doesn't have the players either, but no GM is going to want, no GM with the salt is going to want to keep a head coach that's there. They're going to want their own guy, and Judge hasn't done anything to where a guy goes, oh, yeah, no, I think Judge and I can work together. Yeah, we'll keep Judge. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense in the sense of I could see if the team was losing close games like they were last year. They're getting absolutely blown out, George. They lose by 11 points to the Miami Dolphins. They get blown out yesterday in a game that was 3-3. You're getting absolutely no quarterback play out of Mike Lennon, the guy that you signed for like $4 million a year.
Saquon Barkley. But here's the problem, though. I understand what you're saying, but the fact that saying that the New York Giants don't have weapons, they have weapons, George. They're just not utilizing their weapons, and the weapons aren't stepping up. Saquon Barkley, you're bringing back Saquon for 2022, hasn't stepped up, hasn't done anything this year. I mean, when's the last time Saquon Barkley scored a touchdown? When's the last time Saquon got to maybe 80 yards in a game? I mean, you have Kadarius Toney. Every catch for Kadarius Toney is a five-yard out, a five-yard hitch. I mean, you have Evan Ingram. I call him Stone Hands because flip a coin on the day of the week that Evan Ingram wants to decide to catch the football. I mean, Kenny Golladay, waste, bust. I'd rather have a high school kid from Bergen County, New Jersey, that gives him more effort than Kenny Golladay. I mean, he's like the Hamburglar at this point. He's robbing a paycheck every single week. I mean, come on. And he wasn't that good in Detroit. Can we stop already? Kenny Golladay is basically a journeyman wide receiver in the NFL. A journeyman. Yes, he's a journeyman. Maybe for fantasy guys, he made them a lot of money, but he sucks. I mean, I'm tired with this team. I have to watch this team every weekend, and they give it a half-assed effort. It's absolutely ridiculous, George. And we're bringing back this head coach in 2022?
I do wonder why we talk about the Giants so much for a team that's, you know, not the Cowboys, the Patriots, Steelers, Packers. I mean, a team that's, you know, everyone talks about no matter how good or bad they are. Giants have been bad for a while now. That was four straight 10 loss or more seasons. It might be five straight. That's how bad they've been. Barkley hasn't been Barkley in a couple of years right now. Right? He's just not that guy. He had really one good year that's been hurt. So he's not that guy. You know, I don't know. I don't think he'll ever be that guy again. Once again, the injuries have robbed him of that. Daniel Jones is a well below average quarterback. Offensive line is terrible. Right? They have a whole bunch of turnstiles. Right? A whole bunch of carts. That's all they are there. You know, they're not very good at all. You mentioned about Golladay. Listen, I'll give Golladay a little bit more than what you said, but he's not a number one. Well, he's not a pure number one. He needs other people there around him. Anchor him. Come on. He's been terrible for years. He's not anywhere near a number one tight end. But, yeah, we still always bring all these guys up. And I don't know, anyway, because it's New York, you know, and that's where, you know, like publicity capital of the world here. But this is not a very good team. They need help all over the place. I know they got two first-round picks. That's not enough to fix this team. We haven't even got started with the defense, where they really don't have any pass rushers there. You know, secondary's good. You know, and the line as a whole is solid, but nobody gets after the quarterback. This team has so many holes. I don't think it matters who the GM is hired next year, whether or not you keep the coach either. It's going to be a couple of years process here, and they're going to have to come to that realization. But they got to make the right moves. I think that's been as big a problem as anything else. They keep making the wrong moves. They keep hiring the wrong head coaches. I mean, we keep going through this over and over and over again. It's Groundhog Day. It's really what it is. It's Groundhog Day, and I think that's part of the problem. I don't think Mara wants to go through a new coach. You know, he doesn't want to go through trying to find the right guy again. Well, stop being cheap, you know, and get the right guy. But I think that's half the problem here.
Well, we did see two key victories on a game that is going to play out Sunday at 1. It's a good battle. It's in Indianapolis. You had the Colts knock off Kyler Murray on Christmas night. They stepped up. Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, and the crew got a gutty victory on the road in Arizona. They now square off against the Las Vegas Raiders. And don't look now. I mean, that was another gutty win by the Las Vegas Raiders. They're 8-7 on the year. Derek Carr and the crew pull that victory out at home, 17-13. Good old Vic Fangio played it close to the vest. I said Vic Fangio is the Dr. Evil of the NFL. Why win a game by 20 points when you can lose a game by 4? That's Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. So happy that Las Vegas and the crew stepped up as a one-point favorite in that ballgame. But they're catching 7 points this coming weekend against the Indianapolis Colts. I got to be honest with you. I think Las Vegas matches up well against Indy, even though Carson Wentz and the crew are hitting on all cylinders. I'm going to take my shot early on. I'd like the Raiders to potentially be within this number Sunday afternoon at 1. 7 points, I'll take it any day of the week.
Yeah, I think we're going to need to see who's healthy who's not in COVID for the Colts. It looks like they are having a COVID outbreak there. Right, we saw it in the late Saturday where they lost Darius Leonard, and now they've lost, like I said, they lost four other players today. Marlon Mack being the biggest name here. Once again, he's not a starter there, but Zach Pascal's in COVID, so he is iffy. The right guard, Glinitsky, has got it. Quentin Nelson, the left guard's got it. They lost, what, they lost four of their five starting offensive linemen at some point during that game? Still won, by the way. Fantastic. Toure, defensive end, is in COVID. Leonard, I mentioned, is in COVID. Rakyasin, greatest name, by the way. Rakyasin, cornerback, is in COVID. Kerry Willis as well. So I wouldn't shock me, Joe, if they're going to have more guys in the next day or two in COVID. Let's face it, they are going to have more guys. Even if there was a normal situation, they're going to have more guys, the way COVID's going here. So I don't know who's going to be available to play for Indianapolis, right? And then, listen, the division's over. I tended to... Tennessee winning, they pretty much ended that division. I think their magic number is one to clinch the division. But the Colts still have something to play for as far as to make sure that they are a wild card. Right now, they're the top wild card at 9-6, barely over New England. So I like the Colts roster a whole lot better, a whole lot better. That being said, the game's going to mean a whole lot more to the Raiders here. And Carson Wentz scares the crap out of me. I mean, he makes like 10 bad throws in a row, and then that magnificent one's like, where'd that come from? You know, it's like he, I mean, I don't know how the Colts think they're ever going to win anything with this guy, not the way I see him play. He does make sense. He makes some wild throws, Joe. Like, oh, wow, nice pass.
It's coming, though, George. It's coming. You know it's coming, right? Though, like, just when you buy into Carson Wentz and the Colts, it might be in a wild card game, might be in the second round of the play. You know it's coming, that where he's going to wind up costing them a game. You know, I'm telling you, if I had a bet on it right now, I would say that's the case. When the pressure gets hot, that's where Carson Wentz fails.
I think that's fair to say. I think it's very fair to say. I think he feels the rush. He gets a little jittery back there. He just throws some weird passes, man. I mean, just some weird. I'm like, what were you thinking? What did you see when you threw that? Or are you afraid to get hit? That sort of thing. And I do wonder, you know, if these hits are adding up as the season goes on here. He doesn't want to take the hit. He's just getting rid of the football. So that's, like I said, just strange when you watch him. I have no faith in him whatsoever. But like I said, in that game against Arizona, he made a couple of, I mean, that play on what, the touchdown drive at the end, that touchdown pass was great, great. But I said awful ones.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, too, George. I mean, when I just look at disappointing performances, you could throw the L.A. Chargers in there. You could also throw the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, we've seen this team now in back-to-back weeks not step up. I mean, Kyler Murray and this offense need to get it into gear. Forget the regular season. If they're going to make a playoff run, they need to get more consistent running the football. They need Murray back in terms of improvising and making plays. When we come back, we'll talk about the other games for Week 17. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
We left off talking about the most disappointing team for potentially week number 16. I brought up the Arizona Cardinals now with back-to-back losses against the Detroit Lions and a solid loss to Indianapolis. At least Indianapolis is playoff bound, has a solid running back in terms of Jonathan Taylor, ground and pound. But Kyler Murray hasn't stepped up. But, George, I'm going to throw these three teams out there. Most disappointing loss this weekend, I want to get your take. L.A. Chargers to the Houston Texans. Arizona, obviously, we just talked about. And how about that performance by the Washington football team last night? I mean, it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to get absolutely abused by your division rival. 56 points by your Dallas Cowboys. If I would have told you at the start of the week, Dak and that offense are going to put up 56 against the Washington football team. This is a team that they beat 27-20 a few weeks ago. Would you have believed it in terms of that performance that we saw on Big D last night?
No, not 56. Not surprised they blew him out. I thought there was a possibility, especially playing at home. And Washington, let's face it, short week, 5 days after playing on Tuesday. All the injury problems they have. I wasn't surprised that the Cowboys won easily, but not that way. Certainly not. Pleasantly surprised there. because if Dak has his confidence and his swagger back, you know, this team is really dangerous now in the, come the playoff time, because we know that defense is coming after you. It's not a it's not the you know, the Ravens defense of 2000. It's not that kind of lockdown defense. It's a big play defense. They're coming after you. They're going to hit your quarterback. All right, they're going to make some turnovers here. They're going to cause havoc. They'll give up big plays as well, but they're going to cause havoc. And if Dak and that offense are going to get moving now, dangerous, dangerous team, especially if they can play at home. You know, if they can avoid Green Bay and Tampa Bay for as long as possible, dangerous, dangerous team. But you asked.
I told you.
You asked the most dangerous. You did, by the way. Joe's been on Dallas most of the season here. So kudos to you. But you said the most disappointing loss. All right, Arizona lost to Indy. Indy's a playoff team. Washington lost to Dallas. Dallas is a playoff team. How the hell did the Chargers get blown out by the Texans? A Texas team that had, what, 14 guys on COVID? How the hell did this happen?
You tell me. This team has been doing it enough. We talk about consistency from some of the better teams, right, in terms of the NFL, the teams that are hitting stride come playoff time. Kansas City now, 7 straight games, and they're doing it in dominating fashion. Dallas is starting to come on. Philadelphia team that's fighting for a berth. Cincinnati. This L.A. team, flip a coin on the type of day that Justin Herbert and the crew decide to play. Because it's I just don't understand. It's like they used to be on an every other week type of situation. You bet the Chargers every other week they step up. And then they found their groove. This is a team that you're supposed to put the nail in the coffin yesterday. All right, granted, Eckler's not there, but you still have Justin Herbert. You're telling me you trailed that much in terms of that performance against the Houston Texans? Are you kidding me?
No, there's no excuse.
Are you serious?
There's no excuse. None. I mean, and Staley, by the way, also got a little snippy with the reporter late in the week. Because the reporter asked him, you know, you're going to have a letdown game here? You guys ready? Oh, we're ready, blah, blah, blah. We'll take them seriously and all that stuff. Apparently not. I don't care they didn't have Eckler, by the way. I don't care you didn't have Mike Williams. You're still not better. I mean, immensely better than Houston without Eckler and Williams. They didn't have Brandon Cooks. He was out. They have 13 guys that we probably never heard of were out with COVID as well. I mean, come on. Come on. That's a joke, too. I couldn't believe. I mean, I still can't believe that that happened there. Still can't believe that. And what was all this stuff with Staley where he, you know, gambler, right? He's always going for it on fourth down and stuff, yet he kept settling for field goals. That's when you sort of knew, oh, things are going bad. It's always a field goal. First couple of drives, field goal, field goal, field goal here. He was settling for it over and over again. Like, just get any point of points against Houston, and I'd be good enough to win the game. Didn't work out that way. Such a disappointing loss. They charged big time. Right now, they're not in a playoff spot. Right, they're in the 8th seed here, so they're one spot out. Once again, tied with the Ravens, Raiders. If Miami wins tonight, they'll be tied with them. So it's a quagmire there. You know, maybe they can squeeze in at the end. Maybe they can't. And I'll be honest with you. If they get in, they're probably a team no one's anxious to face here. But, man, is this team – you said it's every other week. You don't know what you just don't know what you're going to get from the Chargers week in and week out.
How do you let the Houston Texans rush for 189 yards on your front seven? Old man Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead had 149 yards on the ground on 22 carries. Are you kidding me? Are you this isn't Nebraska versus Mercer College. Are you kidding me, L.A.? See, this is what bothers me about, the front seven of L.A., they're so done. Really? Rex Burkhead ripped your defense for 149 yards. Old man Burkhead. The guy runs a 4.8 40. He's 5'8", 200 pounds, and you couldn't shut him down? I mean, and Davis Mills, this is an offense now in Houston. You got to maybe look at overs because they put a 30 spot last week against Jacksonville. They followed up with a 41-point performance against the L.A. Chargers. I mean, they're an over team now in the second half of the season.
Mills is not bad. He's not bad. I'm not saying he's their future franchise quarterback, but he's not bad. He's growing. And he's actually getting a little better here, so good for them. Overs as far as, I mean, Burkhead, I can't believe he had the game he had. Yesterday, Johnson was out, Brandon Cooks was out, Nico Collins, Conley. I mean, there's nobody special here anywhere. So it's hard for you to go for the overs here. If we go for the overs, we're going to assume, once again, they're going to give up points on defense as well, and they're going to be forced to throw. And Mills seems to be hitting He seems to be making plays, which is, once again, that's why I kind of like this kid, because he's making plays with really a whole bunch of nobodies. Cooks, I think, has had a fantastic year for what he's had to go through, and you know defenses are keying on him because he's the only name there you're worried about. So I think they're an interesting team for overs, and I have not checked their schedule for the rest of the year to see who they're playing here. So it'll depend for me on who they are going up against here, which, by the way, is San Fran and Tennessee.
15. They're catching 15 to San Fran this weekend. 45 is the total. I would take the 15, too, which means San Francisco is probably going to win this game by 50. That's what that means, right? 45 is a little cheap. I mean, 45. I mean, you got to think that San Francisco now is not gonna take them lightly after they just beat the Chargers, right? They're going to look to pound them into the ground early and often. On the flip side, you have L.A. The Chargers are 6-point favorites over old man Fangio and the Broncos. So you would have to say this is a spot most likely the L.A. steps up, right? Total is set at 45.5. It's minus 110 either way. So who do you like in that game? I lean to L.A., but I don't love it.
Well, how can you love it? I mean, I agree with you. I lean L.A. as well, but how can you love it? I don't know how they're going to play. No one knows how they're going to play. But I know Denver's not playing well. That's really my answer there. Maybe Bridgewater's back here. Locke certainly didn't seem to be the answer yesterday. But to say I love it, I'm going to go up and down on it? No. If I do decide to bet this game, which I might, it'll be a small bet. Nothing where I'm going to be like, oh, I can't believe I did this. It'll be nothing that I'm not afraid to lose. How about that?
If we like L.A. and the Texans, that must mean that the play is Denver and San Fran. That, you know, just by deductive reasoning. If we're early and off, that means Denver and San Fran are the plays. If you want to play contrarian against Joe and George there early on, I tell you what, I think that, you know, the total in Houston and San Fran 45 is a little bit light. I still think Houston can maybe potentially move the ball. We'll see how that game plays out. We'll obviously break it down as the week progresses. How about your Cowboys laying 4.5 to the Arizona Cardinals, primetime 4:26 battle this coming weekend? I mean, Kyler Murray and the crew need a statement here up against a red-hot Dallas Cowboy team. 49.5 is the total, minus 110 either way. I don't know if Arizona wants to get into a shootout with Dak the way he's chucking it around right now. And his weapons are obviously much better at this point in the season than what Arizona's are. A.J. Green seems to be wearing down from the 17-game season. Old man Green is starting to slip off over the last few weeks. I would lean Arizona. I don't love it, but I would say under the 49.5 because I think both teams maybe want to run the football. Arizona a little bit more than Dallas in this ballgame.
Well, Dallas can want to run the football all they want. They can't. They just can't run the football here. Even that game last night in which they obliterated Washington. And you know they were pretty much wanted to run the ball to end the game, what, halfway through the second quarter? And yet Ezekiel Elliott had 37 yards rushing. And they only rushed for 108 yesterday. 108! And Dak had 21 of that. And by the way, that seemed to make a big difference in the Cowboys' offense was Dak willing to run again. To take those, when it's there, take the path. Take the first downs if they're giving it to you. You know, so that seemed to make a difference in that offense as well. I think for Arizona, play better football. This is the third year in a row now where you're collapsing, you know, after Thanksgiving. You're just collapsing. You look awful. You're not playing well. If they lose this game, there's no chance for them to win the division. So it's an important game for them. They're going to make the playoffs. They're not going to fall out of that. I think they've already clinched a spot anyway. So they've clinched at least a wild card. But they've got to get back on track or they're one and done. Whoever they play in the first round will beat the crap out of them, and that's it. And then Kingsbury's going to have to answer all these questions again about what happened here. Why were you so good through the first 2.5 months of the season, then all of a sudden you just disappeared? As it's third year in a row. That's not a coincidence anymore. That's a pattern. So Arizona Cardinals have a lot of questions to answer. The good news for Arizona is they generally over the years, right, it's not always with Murray and certainly not always with Kingsbury, but they've had the Cowboys number no matter where they play. Is they just beat. So I think Dallas and Dak and that offense are a different team in Dallas. They just are. This is probably a game I won't touch. Because of the history of the team, but I'd probably lean towards Dallas because Arizona's playing so poorly.
Yeah, I mean, even going back to the days of Jerry Maguire with Rod Tidwell, they always stepped up against the Dallas Cowboys.
Right? Jim Hart.
In the day.
Neil Lomax. Yes.
No, well, when they had Jake Plummer, you know,
Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake, you know, they that's when they had obviously Michael Pittman and Ronald Jones in that backfield. Not Ronald Jones. I got to think now. It was definitely Michael Pittman started his career in Arizona. But I'm thinking that, was it Ronald Jones? No. Back in the day. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, they've played well against the Dallas Cowboys in recent years. I would take the 4.5. I mean, you need a bounce-back spot. This is a game. Last time Kyler was there, he stepped up and abused the Dallas Cowboy secondary. Remember a couple of years? Was that last year or a couple of years
ago? I think it was last year on the Monday night
where he just absolutely abused them. Christian Kirk had a big day in Big D. I don't know. The fact that James Conner was scratched, I mean, they need a running game to be effective, Arizona. They really do. I don't think they could just rely on a third down back of Chase Edmonds. I know he's okay. He's a Fordham guy. He can catch the football out of the backfield. But they need a legitimate running back that can ground and pound between the tackles, especially in a playoff environment, George. When we look at the teams that are built to win a Super Bowl, they can run the football on the road. And Arizona can't rely on Kyler Murray to do it all in terms of big picture, right? I mean, we're talking Super Bowl. At the start of the year, when they went on this run, Arizona was the team to beat.
Once again, Kyler Murray doesn't want to be that. He doesn't want to be that running guy. He said that, but he has to. For this team to succeed, Murray needs to run with abandon. He did that on Saturday at 74 yards rushing.
Yeah, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up. Get you prepared for Week 17, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz. We left off talking about Kyler Murray, his athleticism, running a little bit more, did have 74 yards on the ground, ripped off a 50-yarder in that loss to Indianapolis Saturday night. But, George, on the flip side, we talked about Seattle's quarterback Russell Wilson not wanting to run at all this year. And a reporter just asked Pete Carroll, looks like a couple of hours ago, about, Pete, do you feel like they need to restart this whole thing and obviously build it from the ground up? And he said, absolutely not. We feel like the foundation is in place. So will Pete Carroll be in Seattle? Will he not? Will he move on? Or more importantly, will Russell Wilson move on from the Seattle franchise? We talked about a potential fit in being the New York Giants, and now new head coach and second-year guy, Joe Judge here. Do they make a play for Russell Wilson?
I mean, I think they should. We've heard that Wilson and his wife, they want out of Seattle. They want to go to a big market, right, I guess for their careers after whatever. So New York would certainly be that market, and they should, in my mind, they should certainly be in the – and they should certainly want a quarterback. You can't rely on Jones. You've got to be kidding me. It comes out to, for the Giants for one of two things. A, you're going to have two first-round picks, right? You're going to have your own and the Chicago Bears. And at least one's going to be a top 10 pick, maybe both. All right, so you're going to have that. Do you want to take the quarterback, a rookie one, and develop, or do you want to go for Wilson? You know, somebody who's already there who could make you theoretically better right away. Yeah, you know, so that's what I would ask here. If I'm Pete Carroll, if you're trading Russell Wilson, you're going on a rebuild. Right? You don't have a first-round pick. Are you going to sign somebody, Kirk Cousins? Are you going to Aaron Rodgers? Would you even want to go there? You know, that sort of thing. Deshaun Watson, you're going to try and make a trade for him, but you don't have those picks. You go on and on and on here. Does Pete Carroll want to stick around for that? You know, and I don't think he will. I think, yeah. Once again, I have a tough time seeing both guys back, Joe, and it wouldn't shock me if they're both gone.
I tell you. Russell Wilson hasn't stepped up this year, hasn't played his game. Maybe he'll do so in New York if they get him. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
You got- got a lot going on.
Work, family, kids. So we made it simple to get the winning edge. We give you gaming, odds, and more.
You know,
the important stuff.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.